The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Prescott! Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it!
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown!
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
It's a wonderful Wednesday edition of Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, here from the Star in Frisco, as the Cowboys get set to take on the Buffalo Bills coming up this Sunday. They are at 10-3. They are in first place in the NFC East for now, but they'll take on the Buffalo Bills coming up on Sunday, and
don't
we'll
you take
that
away from
you.
Us?
Hey,
don't you take that away from them, Kyle?
Here,
freak, man.
They are in first place.
That's all that has to be said. Don't you say for now.
Okay,
they're in first place. Whatever happens, happens. Okay.
I love it when Isaiah gets into like voice cracky mode.
So if I drink coffee, I can start my day like that too.
Bro, I have not had any caffeine.
That Black Rifle.
I need some.
It's that Black Rifle coffee.
You know, I will argue that I don't think you need any right now. I think you're where you need to be.
I'm not definitely need some caffeine.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, too. That Black Rifle will turn.
Oh my gosh, yes.
When we went and I had that thing and I downed it in like, what was it, like 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I was
bro,
all day.
I have a really busy day. I might have to take down about two of those RTDs.
They're starting to become more readily available. Like, yeah. I went the other day to a gas station. I was on my way to a gig. I was halfway between Fort Worth and Stephenville because I was going to Tarleton. And I stopped at a gas station, and I was needing a kick. I needed something because I was just I had about 30 minutes left in my drive, and I had a game to call that night. And I went into this gas station, and I was looking around. And sure enough, the same cans that we've got from the Black Rifle
Cowboys
Coffee,
joints.
The Cowboys one.
Bro, don't you pull that out. I'm going to drink it. Don't you pull it.
You want it?
It's freaking done.
Take it. I mean, it's been in there for a hot minute.
Care.
It's not necessarily
hot,
cold.
It's freaking go, isn't it?
Oh.
That's right. Clip that.
I never thought that one would get
clip
open.
Clip that.
I didn't either. We've got more upstairs. We can make it work.
Brim real quick. Just get a little sanitation. There we go.
Yep, there you go.
You need this. Here we go.
Chuck, bet you won't.
Chuck, finish it.
There's no way he would finish it. I would be worried for your heart's health.
There's no way he's finished it.
Dude,
he's about to
stop it.
He's about to be like Micah.
Yes.
That is incredible.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Black Rifle, that's how we freaking go, baby.
That is great.
Never had a drink in my life, but I had a Black Rifle coffee. There it is.
Hold on.
Your eyes are watering.
Dude, you just chugged 300
milligrams
of caffeine.
Let's freaking go. I need it today. High five.
Bro, by the end of the Isaiah is going to be off the wall.
You've never had an alcoholic beverage?
I've never had alcohol in my life, but I've had a Black Rifle RTD.
Let me see that thing.
Okay,
it's gone.
Let me see this.
Oh, yeah,
this is delicious. I've had my fair share of these.
How many servings does it say on that?
It only says one.
It says IRS.
It says
one.
Wait, that thing's only, that's
one
only 140 calories on one serving?
Yep.
That's right.
Wow.
I'll burn that off.
I'm telling
quick,
you,
fast,
Black
in a hurry.
Rifle's got their stuff together, and it's not because they're the sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's good coffee.
Yeah, this was
really
not scripted,
is,
by the way.
I'm impressed, man. That was impressive.
That was incredible.
I didn't think you were going to do that.
With that being said, news and notes. You want Isaiah to do news and notes today?
I'm afraid we're going to go too fast. You know, we got to take up some time here in this
Isaiah,
segment.
You just do the whole show today. We're going to sit back and watch.
Just watch.
It'll be over in 5 minutes.
Thanks for joining us here. I'll talk to you.
We can start with Jonathan Hankins with his high ankle sprain that he suffered coming out of the game against Philadelphia. They were testing and everything yesterday, so Stephen Jones talked about it on The Fan, and then Mike McCarthy talked about it yesterday during his press conference, and it doesn't sound like there's an official timetable, but Ian Rappaport immediately after the game had put out that, you know, he's expected to be, you know, somewhere in that 3 to 4 week range and should be back by the playoffs, if not sooner. But hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity today on the timetable for Hankins and if IR is necessary, which I believe if he's getting put on IR, that would put him out for the rest of the regular season. But they do have two practice squad defensive tackles that they have brought in over the course of the season. Carl Davis, who is a 30-year-old, 9-year veteran. He's played in the league with quite a few teams. He's got a lot of experience in the league. It's tough to find those kind of practice squad guys with that much experience. And then you also have Willington Prevalon, who I think has the best name on the team. And he's very sneakily one of the funniest players on the team. Yeah. So he's a big boy. He wears a 94. So if you see him out there in the interior, that's not DeMarcus Ware. That's Willington Prevalon next week.
He's back.
Yeah. Which one of these four games down the stretch, Buffalo, Miami, Detroit, Washington, are you most concerned about without Jonathan Hankins?
Yes.
All of them.
Yeah, I agree. All of them. I would say Detroit, and then this week probably jump out to me just with the way that they run the football. That's where I feel like you're going to miss him the most. And honestly, he's kind of exceeded my expectations this season.
No doubt.
Just the way him and Osa have played next to each other. They clearly, I mean, that group together has really helped solidify things in the middle. And so I thought it was a good sign when, you know, after he left the field, he walked back and was sitting on the sideline. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's not anything too serious, or he would have just stayed in the back. But yeah, high ankle sprain, so who knows how long did that keep a guy of his size out. Not great, you know, but all things being considered, you look at every team across the league and everyone's dealing with some injuries, and for the most part the Cowboys are in pretty good shape. So to come out of that game with that being the only thing, I guess it's not terrible, but I think that we're going to notice his absence.
That's a big thing. Like you said, it might be the only thing, but it is a big thing. And it's under the radar. It's not like it's one of those big names, but it's an impactful one. I mean, we've seen time without Jonathan Hankins in the past. Last year, for instance, whenever he went down toward the back half of the season, they had to make adjustments. And, him not having him in the middle there, I think, does a wonder in the wrong way for your defensive front.
But you have an opportunity for some young guys to really step up, right? So much like when Trayvon went, or actually you can go all the way back to last year, right? When Jay Lou went down, Deron Bland showed up, right? You didn't expect him to show up. You're like, oh, crap, Deron Bland, who's this guy? All right, here you go. He's a playmaker, right? And then this year, you knew what he was capable of, and then Trayvon Diggs goes down, and what he goes out to where he's never really been before, and he balls out again. So in terms of opportunities, this is typically how things work in the NFL, how you find out about, you know, guys that are on the up and up. So we talked about our first round draft pick in Mozzie Smith and how he's quote unquote underperformed or slow to start, whatever you want to call it. This is an opportunity for him. It's a huge opportunity. Now, it's not something that as Cowboys fans you want in terms of not having your statue right there in the middle of the defense, but it does present an opportunity. You know, you do know that most likely you're going to the playoffs. You also know that you're going to get Jonathan Hankins back. So for 4 weeks, you have an opportunity to develop players who might not have developed had Jonathan Hankins been in that position.
And so my question to you, all you guys, but especially because Isaiah just brought that up about the final, these next four games. So a pretty popular response on Twitter, I'm sure you've seen this, has been fans talking about, well, what about Ndamukong Suh?
There's a text I was just about to go to.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not against it. You can bring him on a practice squad and see how he's looking, right? I mean, Ndamukong Suh is a freaking beast of a player when he played. I mean, you still got some other names that I saw out there too that are some guys that can play and hold it down in the middle. But you have to bring them on a practice squad and just see what they're looking like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Are these guys
that's what they capable? Did with Bryant. They've exactly. done it with players like that in the past.
I mean, are these guys capable of still coming in and having an impact? You know, it's one thing to have had a name and to have been a very impactful player, but are you still that? I don't know. All right. That's why you bring guys in for workouts. That's why you put them on practice squad and let them have an assimilation type period. And if they can have an impact, then yeah, put them in the game. I wouldn't be against if Ndamukong Suh could still play at that level that he could. I'm not sure that he would be still sitting at the crib like that. That's just the reality of this league at that position. Everybody needs a run stopper. And if there was a dominant run stopper that was still available, he most likely would have been on a roster already. That's not to say that he can't still be productive you know, based upon what you're asking him to do. But you just don't know until you step on the field.
Yeah, I'm not huge on bringing Ndamukong Suh in. I don't think it's that major of an issue. If it was a season ender for Jonathan Hankins, then yeah, probably you look into that from my perspective at least. But he's going to be back for the playoffs, at least it appears so far. You know, if it was a bigger deal, maybe so. But I'm confident with what's in the building to try and figure out what to do over the course of the next 4 weeks. And who knows, it might be an opportunity for a guy like Mozzie Smith or Neville Gallimore or one of these practice squad guys to really be able to show that they are the reliable depth in that interior.
The 870 said, "Hey, Mr. Jones, please go sign Sue." I don't know if this is a direct line to Jerry. I don't know if he has access
to this, but
we'll see if we can relay that information.
He'll have to get the two-factor authentication from Beam, though. He'll have to.
Jerry will?
Yeah, Jerry
will.
Yeah,
that's fair.
What are you guys' thoughts on, like, Quinton Bohanna?
Is he out there?
Yeah.
Is he in the open market?
Mm-hmm. Big Bo's out there.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So I read an article maybe a day ago.
Now we are all searching.
I think he's on somebody's practice squad.
Perch him off a practice squad? I don't know. I think you've seen that and done that.
I understand. I'm just saying, but like you're familiarized, right? It's not a question mark. You know what you're getting. You know the proper expectations of that player. That's the risk with some of these guys that you would bring off the couch who have been sitting all year long is you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what their workload is, what they're capable of doing, what the good thing is, what the bad thing is. Like, you know this player. You can put him in a situation to be successful based upon the proper expectations. That's the one positive. I'm not saying that he's as dominant a player as some of the other guys that might be available, but at least you know what he's capable of based upon what you would ask him to do.
So Tristan Hill.
He's available, too.
He is available. I know that one for sure.
Yeah, I like Tristan, but he's undersized. I mean, he's quick. He's quick, yeah.
Different body than what you're trying to replace with Jonathan Hankins.
I really feel confident with what they have here to fill out what we'll be missing with
Gallimore,
Hankins.
Mazi.
Are they going to be able to make up for Hankins? Absolutely not. Like, Hankins has been awesome in just plugging running lanes and using that wide body all season, but I would rather see these other guys get an opportunity. I didn't love what I saw from Mazi Smith in the snaps that he had in the second half last week after Hankins went out, and I don't think the coaching staff maybe did either because Neville Gallimore got quite a bit of run there late in the game, so we'll kind of see how that shakes out. But it's also an opportunity for Osa Odighizuwa. You know, he's been so great this season. It's kind of almost unheralded a little bit just because of, you know, he doesn't show up in the stat box that much. And he had a couple of really impactful sacks early in the season, but since then it hasn't really been the stat sheet filler that you would expect from a dominant defensive lineman. But that's what he's been this season. And so
he's been a disruptor.
Yeah, it's another opportunity for him to kind of fill those running lanes and get around a little bit quicker maybe. So we'll see.
I'm still trying to look through this roster for a better name than Wellington Prevalon. I think you might have it, though.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Yeah. When you guys are actually working, this is what I'm doing. Igbenogany is a great one, though. Sorry.
My biggest concern with the absence of Jonathan Hankins is, in order to have the impact, based upon what we've seen this season, behind him, in order to have the impact that he has in his run-stopping ability, I believe that you have to start running more stunts. I think you have to start asking guys to move across the face of offensive linemen and filling those gaps with linebackers now versus just being able to put your foot in the ground and two-gap guys. And that's what, you know, Big Jonathan Hankins was allowing you to do. He was allowing you to play straight downhill, at least at that position, and everybody else to kind of, you know, do whatever else that Dan Quinn's asking. I'm not sure that you can take that same approach now with his absence. I think you have to change your defensive scheme on the front to elicit the same effectiveness that he had.
Who does a great job of running stunts like you're talking about? Whether we're talking about today's NFL, ever, like to you, when you think of a group up front running stunts like that, like who would you say is something that jumps out, like just to give kind of fans a perspective? Or defensive tackles,
Even just on this team, Quinton, yeah. I mean, not Quinton, you guys got me looking at Quinton Bohanna. Let me get him off my screen.
He's a practice squad with the Lions, by the way.
But also Odighizuwa. I think a lot of the ways in which he gets his penetration, his disruption in the backfield is he crosses the face of a lot of offensive linemen. He's just so quick, so explosive. He can anticipate the snap count. He's done a great job of that this year. You know, Nick talked about how he hasn't necessarily shown up in the stat sheet, but he's definitely shown up for this defense. And he has really made it difficult on opposing offensive lines. I'm not sure that it would just be him doing that now, right? You have your defensive ends, whoever's out there, Micah, D-Law. You had Osa that was kind of, you know, had the freedom to kind of cross the face of whatever guard is out there. And then you had Big Jonathan Hankins that could literally just push and go straight downhill. Now you don't have that force right next to Osa Odighizuwa. You don't have that. So now you either, A, have to ask Osa to come, hey, stop taking as many risks as you were taking before in terms of crossing face and choosing a direction, and now I'm asking you to take away your biggest asset and just go straight ahead now, or I'm going to ask everybody now to run stunts, right, to cross the face and to try to get that penetration, get these guys turning their shoulders, and now my second level has to be more aggressive towards the line of scrimmage. So I'm saying that's my biggest concern is now how does Dan Quinn and this defense change how they approach the running game of opposing offenses now that you don't have a presence that could just simply just come straight downhill. I'm not sure that they have that. Mozzie hasn't shown that. Neville Gallimore hasn't shown that consistently. So in order to have that impact, you have to change something because you have a void now.
Yeah, multiple text messages that are talking about Mozzie. This one says, we need our first rounder to play like a first rounder. Now is the time. This one says, Mozzie has been so ineffective that we're talking about getting guys off the couch to replace Hankins. And I agree. He has been ineffective. Have I given up on Mozzie Smith to this point? Absolutely not. No. He's a first-round pick. You're not going to give up on him for multiple years. You're going to give him a chance to grow into a role. Is there a time in the NFL that comes every once in a while for significant players, significant picks like that, to step into a role and they need them to fill that void?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's part of the game. That's part of the league. This is that time for Mozzie Smith, and I agree. I think he needs to step up in a massive way for them to try and fill this void over four games. It's not even – this isn't just to make a playoff run. This is down the stretch in imperative football games that you need him to play as a first-round pick.
Yeah, just a little bit more context on what they have coming up. So this weekend, Buffalo Bills, the number 10 rushing offense in the NFL. Next week, the Miami Dolphins, the number 2 rushing offense in the NFL. And then the Detroit Lions right after that, the number 5 rushing offense
Solid.
In the NFL.
Solid. Great. Love this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
Somebody's going to have to fill that void
Good
in
work.
The interior for sure.
But people have to be realistic about the expectations. And when everybody's talking about Mozzie, we talked about this early on when he first got drafted, and I think we mentioned how you just have to temper your expectations. Just because somebody's taken in the first round doesn't mean that they're going to come in and have an immediate impact. Right, some players are going to require more time.
Some are.
Some.
You expect players to come in
but
and make an impact.
We're not talking about a top 15 pick
no.
either. You know what I'm saying?
So he was a second round grade.
Absolutely. So there has to be a realistic expectation of him as well. Just because he has a first round draft pick next to his name doesn't mean that he's going to come into the NFL and wreck shop. That's
he's carrying some baggage though for some other players. And when I say that, I mean if you're a Cowboys fan, if you can sit here right now and Isaiah Stanback can say, guys, it's just going to take him a year. He'll be fine next year, the year after. I think a lot of people would be fine.
Mm. Yeah.
The problem is that there's a lot of people out there thinking, is this Tristan Hill? Mm-hmm. Is this Taco Charlton?
Fair.
Obviously different players.
Fair.
You know, we're not comparing. But it's because you've seen that.
Yep.
And it's not you've seen that back in the 90s or 80s Cowboys. You've seen that recently.
Correct.
I think that when you don't see an impact right away, especially from an organization that does get a lot of impact right away from first-round picks, people start to panic a little bit.
Well, and that's a great point because of the opposite way, too. They've been spoiled in these first-round picks the last couple of years.
Facts.
2020, CeeDee Lamb, bam. Yep. Immediate impact. He's one of the top receivers in the NFL. 21, Micah Parsons, bam. One of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Absolutely.
22, Tyler Smith, bam, he could be an all-pro this year.
Absolutely.
They've had immediate impact from the last three guys before Mozzie Smith. So then the guys before that, then that's where you go back to, uh-oh.
Yep.
Are we going back to Taco? Or are you back to Tristan? Tristan Hill was a second-round pick, I know, but he was the first pick of that draft because you traded that pick for Amari Cooper.
All those thoughts are fair. I'm not saying that anybody's thoughts on this situation
aren't fair. Especially with what the film has been put out there
I would be more concerned if we hadn't seen any improvement this year. And I'm not saying that it was night and day now from week one to now.
Sure.
Okay, but we've seen improvement, right? He has some flashes in there where you're like, okay, Mozzie, okay, like I see what you're working on.
See the growth.
Yeah, I can see the growth. And then you know, two steps forward, one step back type of deal. You talk about last week's performance. You know, I think the week before that he had did relatively well. I can't remember if it was a week before or 2 weeks before, but he had stepped up. He's like, okay, all right, I see the growth. And then last week happened. It's like, okay. But you never like that's a part of growth though. Some people just go five steps ahead, boom, and you're like, oh crap, all right, that's what we're
there
talking about. Yeah, that's our first round pick. Some guys is like do 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 do, and then boom boom, right? They jump up two steps like he was jumping on the doggone stairs in Michigan. Okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, back a game. Okay, and he has to go back and learn. Okay, what did I do wrong?
He did play against Jason Kelce this week.
Absolutely,
I mean,
right. So
he's an all pro for a reason.
I'm not making excuses for him, but what I'm saying is players develop at different paces, and that's all I'm saying. And just because he has a first round draft pick next to him, you can't change the expectation or the reality that some players just develop slower. So you have to give him that grace. As much as you would like for him to be a beast right now, he's not. So being that you've seen what it is on film, give him the grace, let him learn, let him get in with the defensive line coach, let him learn from Big Hankins and everybody else that's around him. He's learning, right? He's learning. And if he was showing regression, then we should have some concern. But we've seen flashes of, okay, now you're still not the dominant player that we expect you to be, but we see you getting better, right? And we're hoping that you can have a Jalen Tolbert year one, year two jump, right? And they haven't utilized him as much as we thought that they would, but he made a huge jump from what we saw from year one to year two. So there's that opportunity as well.
Well, I do think most people would agree with you, the people that are not just the immediate haters, yep. like, get rid of him. Let's just drop him now yeah. before it's too late, yeah. you know? Other than those people, most people, I think, would agree with yeah. you. But those same people would also think in the back of their head, like, who's to say this will work? Like, what gives us confidence yeah. that it will work? You know, yeah, he's developing. Maybe it's slower, but how do we know that there's success on the other side?
We don't. You don't. It's part of the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at a lot of yeah. the
I think that's where most of the concern kind of comes yeah. from with Mozzie Smith, though. I don't think the majority of the people are the aforementioned just haters off rip, like, okay, this guy's Taco Charlton without even looking at him. I think most of the people kind of have a little bit of rationality and look at him and see what's gone on this season. Yeah, there's been progression, but like it's like here, you know. So
I get it.
This text, I just have to address it. 732, that's why you don't take a second round graded player in the first round at what is a well known position of need. Should have drafted somebody else. They didn't have
Joey Porter Jr. Is that what he's asking to draft? He wouldn't
JPJ. He wasn't even available. I don't know if that's who he's talking about. Maybe there's somebody else. There was no other first round grade. He was the highest rated player that they had on the board, and that's what happens. You have 15 graded first round players, 15 to 18 every single year. They were picking at 26. So
he was available, but anyway,
it was ahead. He. I mean, either way. They didn't pick him for a reason, and he was a second-round graded player at the back end of the first round. That's how it goes. If you wanted to talk about the impact of Jonathan Hankins and how he could be missed, we just spent an entire first segment on one news and note because yeah. of the impact of that defensive tackle position. Do you have any other pressing
ones? We're good.
We're good. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to preview the defensive matchup, maybe a little bit more defensive tackle talk against this Buffalo Bills offense. How can they get after Josh Allen and continue to force some turnovers? When we come back with more Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company and Isaiah Stanback.
Just finished another one in the break.
Black Rifle Coffee
Company. I'm waiting on it to take effect.
It hasn't kicked in.
Hasn't kicked in just yet.
I thought you talked a lot.
The end of the show segment. Might have a freaking bang, baby. By the time
I hope it kicks in, it's going to be one of those moments on like Looney Tunes when the eyes start getting big and dilated, and it's just boom.
It's definitely kicked in because I was a zombie when I walked in here.
So it is kicking in.
It's kicking in.
Oh, good. Good. Love this. This is awesome. Yeah. This is like a slower reaction time from the hot sauce from Nick.
I was about to make that comparison.
It's a different situation, but now it's just a different reaction.
I really want to see John do a hot sauce challenge.
No, man. You already did the impression. That's exactly.
He would curse me out. Isaiah, this is bull.
My parents were in town last night, and we went to dinner.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no. Sorry, dude. Sorry. My wife was she asked the waitress at Mi Cocina down the road here at the Star, and she was like, "Hey, do you have the hottest hot sauce? What's your hottest hot sauce?"
Sure, your wife
and they said this, and she was like, "All right, bring it out." So she was just eating it all night. No big deal. Not even kicking her.
That's me.
And I was like, I think at some point we need to.
I have a fresh bottle at the house. Remember the bottle that I ordered that got
you,
here late?
Too?
I have it. It came in. So I have a bottle. I'll give it to the wife.
She wants to try it.
I don't want
to
do that. Your wife has three babies.
We're not doing it while she's pregnant. That ain't happening.
Okay. Well, she's eating hot sauce like a freaking Skittles.
She's still rolling with it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your kid's going to come out safe. What's your wife's thoughts on the Danny DeVito? I know she...
On Danny
Not
DeVito?
Danny DeVito. You know what I'm talking about.
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, same thing.
The Italian culture kind of being in the forefront. Yeah. They love it. I think it's hilarious.
They love it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, seeing all of the different things from the DeVito family and the tailgating, it just reminds me of her family, for real. Because they're from Staten Island, so they're right up there.
I
was going to
say, the only other city that would have been more perfect in is Boston. Like those aside, like New York and Boston, those are only two cities that makes sense in.
New York's got more of an Italian heritage, though.
Yeah, I would call New York. I think Boston's more Irish.
Yeah,
Boston has a little Italy. Like they have a whole area.
Yeah,
that's what New York is, though. Yeah. It's big Italy.
It's awesome.
A tweet that said while he was playing on Monday night, it was like every team should have a third string quarterback. That's just an egregious stereotype of the people that live in the area. So I'm trying to think like what would be the funniest one. So we were cooking some up yesterday while we were at Salvation Army. So we were like, Miami would just be like this Puerto Rican dude who like might be kind of drunk sometimes, but he's just there for the vibes, you know?
He's got like a pit bull vibe.
Well, his agent didn't make it any better by wearing that suit.
Exactly.
Oh, he just lived it up. It
so perfect. For Dallas, it would have to be someone who is a stereotypical like
country,
cowboy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta be. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't Cowboys say that. Boots. It's tough to sit there and say that Jason Kelce perfectly fits Philadelphia, but to me, Jason Kelce is kind of
how he shows up to the stadium.
Rough and gruff.
Yeah, just everything about like the way he goes. I always think of him as.
See, I would throw like Jason Kelce in like Denver. Like the mountain man, gruff.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived like just whenever he records his podcast, he's in like a log cabin.
Yeah.
Like,
who's Dallas Cowboy?
DeMarvian Overshown.
That
yes.
Currently on the team, there's no doubt in my mind.
Man, they showed him a bunch in the Sounds of the Sideline.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking about when I'm watching it is I'm like, man, it'd be really nice if they had him on the defense.
They
right
showed
now.
A lot of Trayvon too.
Oh, yeah. That's
same
right,
thing.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
I'm trying to think of like all time, like who embodies like a cowboy the most. And I know I'm going
to
be.
To be honest, we did the.
Jay Novacek?
Yeah,
Novacek would be a good one.
Walt Garrison.
Garrison. I was thinking Chuck Howley. Like he actually had a ranch. He has that like back in the day. And I think Chuck Howley would be up there.
Who was the receiver that they had that they signed from that he was with the Steelers? It's like 2 years ago. James Washington actually like had like horses, I think, and cows and stuff like that. Like had a ranch and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So since we're already kind of talking national storylines.
Do it.
Let's flip the segments. I want to talk defensive preview in the last segment. Let's talk about some national storylines. We can get to
what do you like, got there, JM?
Well, because you brought up DeVito. We'll start
start with DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
What are your – I thought it was kind of like a TV show type thing, seeing his agent on the sideline there.
Absolutely.
But thoughts on that from you guys, but then also your thoughts on with what he's done, does it improve your chances? Because 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was like,
for sure,
those are both wins for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And now, with the way the Eagles are playing and the way that it seems like the Giants got something cooking, do you feel any differently, or do you guys still think those are two wins for the Eagles?
I think Eagles lose to Seattle.
Okay.
I mean,
that helps you out a little bit.
I think it starts there for them. I think they're trying to figure things out right now, and I think Seattle needs a win in a bad way, so I think Seattle gets that game. But the Giants playing better, yes, because Coach Daboll with a capable quarterback is dangerous. That's just facts. That's something I've been talking about since he got hired. He hasn't had a quarterback that he can lean upon. This dude's a complete dog. I mean, you can look at freaking Josh Allen and see how he's struggling right now without him. I mean, he's been struggling since he left. And that dude is he's dangerous now. And if DeVito could handle any kind of workload and the curveballs that Daboll really wants to put into the offense, they might be able to sneak it. You know, when you have a team that's riding high, I talk a lot about how players really depend on confidence. You have a confident team, you remember how good of a player you are, regardless of how your team perception might be, regardless of how successful you might have been. If you're playing with confidence, they have a whole NFL team playing with confidence, that's not the same team that showed up on film for the first half of the season. I don't care who it is.
I love the sentiment. I do.
I hear you.
I love it. I disagree. Okay. I don't think Tommy DeVito is the answer.
No, I'm not saying that.
I mean, he had one really good game. Mm-hmm. 18 for 26. He passed for 246 yards, 3 touchdowns. That was against Washington. They won that game 31-19. Washington's the worst defense in football mm-hmm. right now. Then you go up against the New England Patriots, one of the more struggling teams in football right now.
But a really good defense.
10-7, really good defense with missing 5 of their 6 top players. Then you've got Green Bay, and he threw for 191 yards against New England, by the way. And then he throws for 158 yards against Green Bay. They do win that game. That's the best win, mm-hmm. but he didn't do a whole lot in that game. He had some help. And I get what you're saying with confidence level and mm-hmm. the way that it's rising and you're rallying around a quarterback. Maybe it's a Lynn Sanity effect up in New York again. I don't really know what it is.
Dobbs is another one.
Yeah. You can build confidence around a guy mm-hmm. that helps.
And they can get exposed.
Catalyze your team.
Yes.
But then whenever you go up against the legitimate opponents that are trying to make an impact, trying to make a playoff push, that's different.
I get it. But crazier things have happened.
No doubt.
Crazier things have happened.
The thing I think that benefits the Giants the most in this scenario is the fact that they play twice in 3 weeks. Because you see them once, then you go again 2 weeks later. That's what I think benefits Daboll, what benefits the Giants. Yeah. And if you don't get them the first time around, you got a chance to spoil their season at the end and really
I love that.
Work things out.
To answer your question, Jam, you know, aside from the Seattle game, I think that the Giants make it interesting. I don't know if they pull it out, but I think that they make it competitive as heck, at least in the beginning of the game, first half of the game. I can't wait to see it. I really can't wait to see it. I love seeing players and teams get their swag back, as long as they're not playing Dallas.
I had three of these last four games that the Eagles have, they're going up against desperate teams.
Yep.
You look at the Seahawks, they've lost 5 of their last 6. They basically need to win out to make the playoffs. The Giants, they're one game out of a playoff spot, which is wild to think of when they started 2-8, but here they are at 5-8, one game out of a gabagool, you know. and they have 2 games against the Giants, so we'll see. I think it's going to get interesting for sure.
Mike in Milwaukee with a nice stat. I'm going to have to go double-check this just to make sure. But the Eagles have not beaten Seattle in 15 years. 2008 was the last time that they beat the Seahawks.
Some birds are better than others.
You know. I agree with you on that one.
Listen, Seattle's a really good team.
Yeah.
Like, they're a really good team. They just had some bad luck this year. Yeah.
Stretch.
They've lost 7 straight. That is a fact.
They've lost 7 straight?
Against the Seahawks.
Nice. Let's go, Seahawks. Let's get it done. Keep the streak alive.
The last 3 have been on the road.
Nice.
Where's the game at?
Seattle.
Oh, yeah. That's a dub.
Yeah. I hope so. We'll pick that game this week.
Yeah, you're just right.
We'll pick that game.
My answer's in.
Let's roll.
You want to see more agents dressing like that?
Oh, please.
Bro,
please.
How much confidence did he have to have in DeVito in order to wear that?
His quarterback's 3-1.
I think it's a brilliant marketing scheme. I think it's
how many endorsements has he got?
Well, he was on the television screen 2 minutes ago. We've got NFL Network on, and the agent, not Tommy DeVito, the agent was on the television screen a minute
Absolutely.
Ago.
He's getting that, I all think the it's Italian brilliant. College players right
now. Do what you got to do. Do what you got
to do. He's going to be going up to, like, Rutgers exactly. and Sacred Heart University and be like, all right, guys.
You know what to do.
Let's do the deal.
Come sign with me, huh?
Come sign with me. My uncle, he run waste management. Come sign with me.
Next one I had, if we can move on.
Never.
I want to talk about what I think is the biggest NFL storyline off of this past weekend, and that's the Kadarius Toney lining up offsides and Patrick Mahomes losing his mind on the sideline. And then, you know, even complaining in the post game audio you could hear when he went up to Josh Allen after the game.
Still complaining.
Very, very uncharacteristic for Patrick Mahomes, who is, I don't think any question, become the face of the league. Mm-hmm. And he has since apologized, talking about how it was probably a bad look for kids that are watching the game.
Yeah.
And that certainly is something someone that would say is a face of the league. Yeah. So I wanted to get your guys' take on that. And then also their part of it was just, I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan, not just the way he plays, the way he carries himself. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of Dak after the playoff game when they lost to San Francisco here in January of 2022. And the fans threw some stuff, and it was directed at the refs. And Dak responded when he was asked multiple times about this. He said, "Well, credit to them." And it was just a very unlike Dak moment to basically be like,
"I forgot about that."
Yeah, throw stuff at him. And he issued an apology a couple of days after that as well. So I do find it interesting how there are moments when even these guys that it seems like nothing can draw them off sides can, but then how it really doesn't matter because these guys
draw them off sides.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah. Oh. And so it's in their character that just because Patrick Mahomes has that one moment, it doesn't change like his reputation to me. Like, you know, I think that he's a great guy to have as the face of the league. He had a moment where
his passion came out.
Yeah. I'm going to speak for him. not knowing any of this for certain, but this is the way I felt of it when I looked at it. I think some of the frustration is from the week before, not getting the pass interference call against Green Bay. And I think there's a little bit of frustration, too, with, can I get some weapons around me over here? Can you guys help me out a little bit? And he's not going to be the guy that yells at the teammates or yells at Andy Reid or calls out the front office. And so I'm not saying that those are the main reasons. I just think that there's kind of a melting pot of things with him.
Yeah, you kind of took it out of my mouth there as far as I think it's just a culmination of all the things that have kind of gone wrong in Kansas City offensively for him this year, and then it just kind of boiled over with a bad officiating mistake. I thought it was childish for Mahomes, and I'm a Mahomes guy. Like, I have family from White House, Texas. He's East Texas boy. Watched him play baseball growing up, so like I very much love Mahomes, but that was a childish moment for sure. He's just super competitive. He's ultra competitive. Mm-hmm. You can see that whenever moments like that happen. I'm just gonna tweet out a different receiver every week for Kansas City to draft in the first round. I think this week, let's see, we've already done Romeo Dunze and Xavier Worthy. Let's go
two good ones.
I don't know. Let's go another UW. Jalen Polk.
There we go.
Nice. There it is. Well done.
Another East Texas boy.
Don't they have – isn't Ross on their practice squad? Whatever happened to him?
Justin Ross? No, he's playing.
Is he?
He's playing, I think, as far as I can tell.
Let's address a couple of things in regards to that story. We got to get to the offense here in a second. Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes, super-duper passionate. I feel him. I feel his frustration. Do I like how he responded? Not at all, right? But the reality is he's a human being, and his emotions raneth over, okay? They ran over, and he's apologetic for that. I think every athlete has had a moment like that. Just every athlete hasn't had a moment like that while on national TV. That's the reality. If you knew the stuff that happens in practice, the perspective and the perception of players would be completely different. The fans knew the stuff that happened in practice and the things that are said between players and said and, you know, fights, all that kind of stuff. None of that stuff ever gets out. Okay. So understand that this is not, it's outside of his character, but he is a passionate, emotional player. And when you have a play that you worked on maybe a handful of times and you go out there and you execute it to perfection in the most important part of the game to win a ball game, and you have that pulled back away from you because of a call, you're going to lose it a little bit. Because all the preparation, everything that you've put in a very important game for them in terms of their playoff, you know, implications, in terms of the rivalry, all those things, all that just came out at one time. And I get it. And I hate that it was on TV for him. That's it. You know, I don't think he didn't plan on that. It just came out, man. So I don't fault him for that. I know he will be more aware of it going forward, but I don't fault him for having those feelings and those emotions, because those things happen, especially in those heightened moments like that. In terms of Kadarius Toney, there's been a lot of controversy in regards to that.
Yeah.
Listen, as having played the position and having had guys play the position in you know, for me, if you're not calling that the entire game, don't call it in that moment. I'm not saying that it's okay for him to line up like that, but as a defensive lineman, they tell you to take every inch. take every single inch, right? And what happens is Micah Parsons lines up like that. People, the Cowboys Nation would go insane if Micah Parsons lined up like that the entire game, and then he gets a sack on the final game to end the ball game, and the Dallas Cowboys win, and they say, oh, offsides.
Yeah.
People would lose their mind. They would lose their mind and say, okay, I'm not saying that he wasn't offsides, but he's been offsides all game, and you didn't call it. You didn't tell him to get back. It's not like you told him to get back, and he came back up again. Kadarius Toney lined up like that the entire game. He took every inch that the referees allowed for him to have, and in the most important play of the game, they call that flag. I think that's BS. That's just me, right? I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying if you're going to call that, you had all game to call it. Don't call it on that play. And people are going to say, well, they didn't know that that play was going to result in that. Doesn't matter. It's the last play of the game. Right? It's the last, you know, towards the end of the game. Like, don't call that right then and there.
That's the hard part, though, is was he more offsides on that play than he was on earlier plays? I mean, you got to go back and look at every single
His
inch along the way.
His big toe was across the line. It wasn't like
he was in the neutral
he
zone.
He was over the line.
But if you go back the rest of the game, he was doing the same thing. He was lining up the same exact way.
But that's what I'm saying.
Way.
Like, maybe comparatively, it was different that play than it was in any other play. Maybe he was over the big toe over the line beforehand, and then it's back.
The thing is, that there's a when you step up to the line of scrimmage as a receiver, you look at the referee, and the referee tells you straight up and down, hey, like, get back. Like, it's literally obvious. It's not like he gives you, like, a head and all, like, he's like, hey, get back. Like, you look at him, it's a quick glance, and I'm right back to seeing exactly what's going on with the play. Sometimes you get in and you just line up. After a while of lining up that way, he's not telling you to get back. Okay, I'm good. I'm not even looking over there anymore because I know I haven't had a problem to this point of the game. So now I'm just lining up the same way I've been lining up the entire game. And if he didn't call it the whole game, then I'm fine the whole game. Why would it now be different right now?
Because he was a full yard.
He was not a full yard.
It was pretty obvious.
3 feet.
He had half a foot over the line. I'll say that.
Yeah. You're talking about inches. You're literally talking about inches.
If you're on the ball, that's one thing. If you're over the ball, that's the other thing.
I struggle with giving Kadarius Toney the benefit of the doubt because young receivers are taught every single time you line up. And he didn't do it.
I hear you until you're in it, right? Like, it sounds good until you're in it.
I understand.
So when you're going through a whole game and you're doing that, like, after a while, I'm not checking with you anymore, right? You know what I'm saying? I might glance, and if you're not telling me to get back off a glance, like, I'm right. I'm talking about, like, a half a second glance. That's what we're talking about. Boom, line up. And I'm not saying that he did that or not. I'm just saying, like, after a whole game of lining up the same way and you have no problems with it, now all of a sudden you do? That's why those guys responded the way they did.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he should have been lining up offsides, but in his eyes, he wasn't offsides because he didn't get flagged for it the whole game.
We got to go to break.
I know.
When we come back, we're going to quickly talk about the Buffalo Bills offense here on Talking Cowboys.
They have offense?
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys, and by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Final segment here. All right, Isaiah, I want you to ramp that Black Rifle coffee, those 300 milligrams of caffeine, all the way up. I need you to tell me what Buffalo does well on offense. Go. Well, this isn't working.
Yeah, they have weapons everywhere. I mean, they do have the weapons. Now, the guy who's distributing the ball necessarily isn't having the greatest of years. And I think he's really missing his offensive coordinator from 2 years ago.
But Isaiah, he's tied for the lead in total touchdowns. Yeah,
he throws the ball around, dude. But you're talking about one of the, quote-unquote, and still perceived that way by me, one of the best passers in the game, right, in terms of abilities and just he's a dog. He's a beast, okay? He just needs a freaking OC. This dude only has, I think, what, 4 games over 300 this year?
Yeah.
And I think he only has two games without an interception. 4 games over 300. We're talking about Josh Allen. 4 games over 300 this year and only 2 games without an interception. This dude's struggling. He's struggling. And he has Cooks. He has Diggs. He has Kincaid. He has a lot of dudes they can get the ball to. But if he can't, you know, if he's getting pressure on him, he's throwing it away. He's throwing it into coverage. If he's trying to make a big play, he's trying to force things into it because their offense hasn't been consistent enough for them to have a boat of confidence for him to feel the necessity not to make a big play. Like, he's forcing. He's doing what Dak did last year.
Let me just throw in one thing real quick here on this. He is a different player at home, though. You look at his numbers at home, his QB rating at home is 109.7. His QB rating on the road is 78.1.
Wow.
I mean, it's like way different at home in a way.
Huge difference.
So that's the only thing. Like, I agree with everything that you're saying. I just think that there is a chance that you might get the best Josh Allen for this game. Sorry, go
on. No, you're fine. No, that's it. That's all I had to say. It's just he's having a rough year.
The other thing about it is, I mean, he's coming off of a mediocre game. 23 of 42 passing, 233 yards. He was sacked 3 times, had 1 touchdown, 1 interception. His best receiver, Stephon Diggs, had 11 targets, 4 catches on 11 targets, and he had 24 yards along of 9. So they won that game. They got the win in Arrowhead. You do what you got to do. You survive. You advance. But they did not play well as across
the
board.
They don't have chemistry right now.
It's that defense that really led them in that win in Arrowhead, and we'll talk about the defense significantly tomorrow, but whenever you don't have your best game, but you come out with a win, does that build confidence going into the next one?
I think most teams, yes, but this team, as strong as they are on defense, I think they're an offensive team. Historically, they've been an offensive team. That's what you've led with, and you looked on the other side and like, man, Coach Frazier got them boys playing on defense, Poyer and all them, but offensively, you rely on the Buffalo Bills scoring a ton of points. And Diggs being a complete dog, and Allen and Diggs being on the same page, and now you got a tight end in there, and Kincaid, who can freaking run heck of a great routes and catch the ball, and they've been that, so they have all those pieces still in place, but they don't, for whatever reason, between the play calling and the players, like they're not gelling. They haven't been gelling for the last 2 years. They just haven't. This year is obviously pretty bad, but they're still dangerous. This is one of those things where it's like, I hope they don't catch on fire this week because you know what they're capable of.
We talk about all these weapons, and surely like that's what made it. That is what has made Buffalo so dangerous over the course of the last few years, and Josh Allen being able to do that. But up front, they are a mountain. Like the smallest guy on their offensive line is 6'5", 318 pounds.
Jeez.
That's the smallest guy on their offensive line.
Who is that?
That would be Connor McGovern, not the Connor McGovern everyone is familiar with, but Connor McGovern.
No, that is the Connor McGovern that everyone's familiar with.
Is it?
It is.
Oh, I thought he was for the Jets.
That's exactly what it was. I even get confused.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I 6'5", 318 pounds. That's the smallest guy up front. And whenever we factor in that Jonathan Hankins is going to be out for this game, I think that's a certainty. And this pass rush unit is going to have to come alive to get in control of Josh Allen, kind of contain the pocket, what they were able to do against Jalen Hurts, similar stuff. They're going to have to get through a mountain first in Buffalo in the cold against a lot of strength and size. That's where I have my biggest concerns when I look at this Buffalo offense.
The last weather update in Buffalo was what, 40?
Low 40s, high winds, so we'll see.
Not too bad.
Or not high winds, but high winds comparatively to here.
To yeah. playing inside.
Not in this wind tunnel out here in the practice field.
Not outside the practice field.
They're prepared for that.
That one day last week,
it was crazy.
Goodness.
Windiest I've ever been anywhere.
Yeah.
Chicago, Detroit, wherever. Yeah. That was
If Brandon Aubrey would have kicked the 50-yarder in that, it would have came back and hit him in the
face. Oh, yeah. It got to the point where they just didn't even do anything. They took all the footballs and put them to the side because it wasn't even worth punting, kicking field goals, throwing passes, anything. And it was just like, okay, well, when the quarterbacks come out, we're going right back in.
Sounds like something you put like the circus music to.
It was. Especially when everything was like blown around. People's hats are blown around, blocking. You know, pads are blown around.
Robert Prince,
did you lean into the wind like Michael Jackson?
I wish I would have.
I would love to look out there and see JM just leaning like this.
All right. Quick trivia question to end out the show. Dak Prescott has defeated 29 of the 32 teams in the NFL. Of course, one of those that he has not defeated would be the Dallas Cowboys. What are the other two teams?
Buffalo and Baltimore.
No, Buffalo is one. That's why I'm asking the question.
It's not Baltimore?
It's not Baltimore. He has defeated the Baltimore Ravens. He's 1-0 against the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, that's right. They didn't have Dak in that December game in 2020. Mm-hmm. It'd have to be an AFC
team. Yeah,
it is an AFC team. So you've got the Bills as one.
Jaguars.
No.
No.
They've beaten the Jaguars. Chiefs? Not the Chiefs. He's beating the Chiefs. 1-1 against the Chiefs.
Broncos.
It is the Denver Broncos.
Of course, it's the damn Broncos.
0-2 against the Denver Broncos. So there you go. His career numbers, he only had one game against Buffalo. 32 of 49. He had two touchdowns, an interception, threw for 355 yards.
Thanksgiving game a few years back?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
Do you know the starting quarterback for the Cowboys was the last time they played in Buffalo?
Drew Bledsoe.
Was it not Romo?
No, it's more recent than
Bledsoe. Oh, okay.
What is Dak averaging right now?
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. Thanks, wow. Beam. Good job.
What's Dak averaging right now in the air?
Averaging
like 279-ish. Yeah.
There you go. All right. That does it for us. We'll talk more about Dak Prescott versus that Bills defense tomorrow. Isaiah will still be hyped up on his Black Rifle Coffee tomorrow. Thank goodness.
Let's go!
Did you just bounce that in?
Freaking go!
That's the Black Rifle.
That's the Black Rifle effect is what it is. For Chris Beam, John Machota, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeomans. For Isaiah Stanback, Mr. Black Rifle himself, I'm Kyle Yeomans saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!